Well, hello everybody, this is Adrian here from Lifehouse College, and I want to say welcome to our Wednesday night teaching series. We're so glad that you've taken the time to join us with this. We've got an incredible word from Pastor Rod tonight. So why don't you just sit back, relax, and enjoy this word and be inspired by it. And if you are wanting to get involved or be a part of Lifehouse College, why don't you visit our website, mylifehouse.com/college, and you can find more information there. So come, let's open our heart. Let's allow God to speak to us today and enjoy this message.
Hello everybody, it's Pastor Rod Plummer here from Tokyo, Japan, and this is part three of a series on why I love the Bible. Why I love the Bible. I got saved 41 years ago in Sydney, Australia. I was a fireman, and when I received Jesus, I was so happy and joyful. The Holy Spirit filled me, and I was filled with these love and grace and joy from day one. I knew the love of Jesus Christ. And so as a young fireman, I went to the fire station. I was so excited to tell my friends, hey, I've become a Christian. Yay. And well, they weren't so excited, but I was so happy. And I started to tell my close friends, you can know Jesus too. He's better than anything else, better than anything in the world. And there was a man in the fire station who was a drug pusher. I won't tell you his name because I'm still praying for him to get saved to this day. Hope to see him in heaven. But the drug pusher hit me in the head, hit me in the nose. And it was such a shock to be, I was only a Christian for 3 days. And this guy hit me and then someone protected me. That's another huge story, awesome story, how another man protected me and I was never hit again in the fire station. But that night, I was only 3 days a Christian, and I was pretty upset and sort of like, God, what happened? And how can this happen? And I went home and I read the Bible. And, you know, as a new Christian, 3 days old Christian, I did this with the paper Bible. I said, God, speak to me, and open the Bible somewhere and put my finger down and said, God, you've got to speak to me. And it was Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 9, and it says this, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Whoa. And maybe I was hoping for more of a, I will intervene and I will deal with the situation and you will conquer or whatever. But, or it could have been, my poor lamb, I am with you. And then, well, that's good. But the Lord knew I needed a strong word. And the strong word was, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Come on, say it with me. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And this is probably a word for some of you today, wondering about what's happening in the world right now and the pandemic, and there's job losses and there's sickness and there's sadness and we can't meet together at this time. And a lot of people can get quite discouraged. I want to tell you, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And that is not a rebuke or a judgment. It's the word of God. And as we receive God's word, it's supernatural. God can strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds, strengthen our bodies, strengthen our vision. Come on. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Well, I read that and I went to sleep that night, woke up the next morning, went to the fire station, and I saw that guy. And that guy never came near me again. I felt the strength of the Lord. I wasn't angry. I had no desire for revenge. I just wanted peace. And I felt God's peace, and that guy never came near me. And in the next 6 weeks, I led two of my close fireman friends to know Jesus. It was really amazing. And one of them, because he received Jesus, it actually saved his life. That's another story as well. But just the word of the Lord. Now, this doesn't always work, this open and put your finger down. And if you've got a, where's my phone? If you've got a phone, you know, you it's hard to do it. You can scroll and put your finger down, but it's harder to do that. But I want to tell you that that method does work sometimes. And then other times I've done it and it didn't make sense. And if you've tried it and it didn't make sense, hey, I understand. I heard about a guy on a plane, aeroplane, and it was a turbulence, the plane, you know, that terrible feeling. And he was so scared and he opened up his paper Bible and he said, God, speak to me. And it opened to Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And he read here, Jesus answered, truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in heaven. And the guy went, no, no. So it doesn't always work. And that's why we should have a Bible reading plan, read through a book like Mark or John or Ephesians or the Psalms. Just read through every day a little bit of God's word. Have a plan. You can get a plan on our church app or YouVersion. Read the Bible for yourself. I really encourage you, if you want to love the Bible, don't read always what other people say. That's great. But read the Bible for yourself, what we call a self-feeder. I'm going to be a self-feeder. I love the Bible. I love the message of the pastor. I love the message of my Connect group leader. But I want to read the Bible for myself. I want to know. And God can speak to you every single day. We call it journaling. And I will do a little message on journaling, not this week, but it changed my life. This whole thing of, you know, reading and God saying, Rod, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all, changed my life. And I've used that verse in many countries of the world. I've been in danger or been discouraged. And that scripture comes up, Isaiah 7, 9, part B. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So the whole Bible is amazing. It's supernatural. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed and is useful to teach us what is true, what will make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It will correct us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Or it actually says it will parent us. We will be like children in its power. What children? Children of God. Children of God, becoming more and more like Jesus as we read the inspired, powerful word of God. And I want to read to you Psalm 19, because I'm going to talk today about the Old Testament. I'm going to open it in the middle. There we go. That's the Old Testament. That's the New Testament. This was written before Jesus. This was written after Jesus, recording Jesus and the early church. This is the Old Testament or Old Promise. This is the New Promise. This is leading up to Jesus. This is all about Jesus. So the whole Bible is God breathed. And we're going to talk about today, part three of why I love the Bible, why I love the Old Testament, and why I love the New Testament. They are different, but God is able to speak to us and correct us. Let's read it again. All scripture is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true, the whole Bible, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. God wants us to have a great future. We need to change things. It corrects us when we're wrong thinking, wrong understanding, wrong heart. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us, trains us, parents us to do the right thing, have amazing lives and go to heaven forever and ever. So today, why I love the Old Testament, why I love the New Testament too. So I was going to read Psalm 19. Here we go. You ready for a great journal note? Take a note. This is the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. I feel refreshed. I feel good. Oh, I'll read some more. Now, sometimes when you read, you don't feel great. But if we keep doing it, take some notes after, the effect will be refreshing our soul. I guarantee it. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Well, I need wisdom. I need to have wisdom for my job and my studies and my relationships. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Reading God's word, oh, praise God. God is good. God is strong. God is with me. Oh, I love Jesus. Wow, it's amazing. The power of joy, the joy in our lives. And our church, Lifehouse Church, is known as a church of joy. I know many churches are, but we just really believe that reading God's word and journaling will bring joy, will bring joy. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Wow, revelation, understanding, know what's going on. So I love the word of God. So are you ready? The two parts of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, this word testament means promise. It means covenant. It means strong agreement. It means unbreakable relationship. The old covenant, the old agreement, and the new agreement. Now, here we go. The Old Testament. The Old Testament is a saying by a man called Augustine. He lived about 300 AD, an early church father, Augustine. He said these words. He said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so as we come to the two testaments, we're going to read a little bit differently. It's all God's word, but the Old Testament before Jesus, the New Testament after Jesus makes it very different as we read it. So I'm going to tell you three reasons why I love the Old Testament, right? Then I'm going to tell you three reasons why I love the New Testament. That's my message today. So are you ready? Three reasons why I love the Old Testament. Number one, the Old Testament is built on God's strong promises for three groups. Number one, Abraham. Number two, Israel. And number three, the whole world. Let me say it again. The Old Testament is built on promises for three groups. Number one, Abraham, Father Abraham. Number two, Israel and the Jews. And number three, for the whole world. It's the promises starting with a family, then a nation, then the whole world. Let me say it again. The Old Testament is based upon promises that cannot be broken by God for Abraham and his family, then for Israel, the Jews, then for the nations of the whole world. And the whole world is through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. But in the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet come, so it's based upon the promises of a powerful, wonderful God. So we're going to read the promise to Abraham. And in the New Testament, it says those who are believers inherit the promises to Abraham. This is to us as nations. You ready? Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Listen to the word blessing here. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Okay. To you, Abram, and to your people, blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. What a great message we have. A God who wants to bless obedient people, bless people that love him and obey him and come into his promises, come into his agreement. The old agreement, the old promise. God reveals himself to Abraham. And when I was a very young Christian, I wasn't doing this anymore. I wasn't doing that anymore. But I'm reading through the book of Isaiah because God spoke to me from Isaiah 7:9. Remember, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So I thought this is a good book, this book of Isaiah, and it was written 600 years before Jesus. It's amazing. I love Isaiah. I love the Bible. I started to read Isaiah right through. Many parts, I've got to be honest, I didn't understand. I didn't understand the history, the people. Many things in Isaiah are against nations, and that was for then. That was for back then. But then there's so many parts that were God speaking to me. Now, very soon after I became a believer, I read Isaiah 42:6. And the Lord spoke to me about my life and revealed in journaling, just reading through Isaiah a little bit every day, just a little bit. And I got to Isaiah 42:6, probably a couple of weeks or a few weeks after my salvation. And I really felt God spoke to me. And it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you or protect you and will make you to be a covenant, a promise for the people and a light for the nations, a light for the nations. Now, this promise wasn't to me, first of all. This promise was to Israel. It was to Abraham. So the Old Testament is like, first it's to Abraham and Israel, but then it becomes to me. So I'm not the primary one God was speaking to. God was speaking to Abraham and Israel to be a light to the nations. The whole purpose of God blessing Abraham, it says, is that all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham, and through the Jewish people. And Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations. Nations would look at Israel and say, wow, you're so blessed. Why are you so blessed? Oh, it's because you worship one God, Yahweh, or however you want to pronounce that name, the God, the Creator God, the blessing God, the covenant making God. You worship that God and you're blessed. Could you tell me about that God? That was the plan. That was the Old Testament plan, that God would so bless a nation that the world would be attracted like a magnet, like a drawing power to say, whoa, you're amazing. How did you get amazing? Oh, you've got God. Could I know that God? Oh, wow. Now I am receiving the blessing. That was the plan. That was the Israel plan. That was the God's plan for the Jewish people. Yes, they were his chosen people and they are his chosen people. But the plan wasn't just for them. It was them to be light. Light, draw to the God who blesses and loves and increases our lives. And so when God spoke to me this verse, I wasn't the number one person God was thinking of. He was thinking of Abraham and Israel, but then finally to all the peoples of the earth. So that's how God can speak to us in journaling from the Old Testament. It was written for someone else, but it can apply to our lives. It was written to Isaiah, or Isaiah wrote it by the Holy Spirit power to Israel, but I can read it today. You can read it today and say, and God can speak. And so God spoke to me 41 years ago from this verse and said, Rod, I've called you. I've called you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you to be for many people and a light to the nations. Does that mean you can too? Yes. Now, we're not all called to the same thing, but when God speaks, God will apply it to our situation, in our language, in our style. That's why it's great to get a Bible that you can read in your language that you enjoy. Some people say, Pastor Rod, what's the best translation of the Bible? My answer is the translation you like to read. Very simple, right? Which translation? They're all good translations. If it's the Bible, it's a translation. It's good. So, my wife, Viv, loved the Good News Bible when she was a young Christian. She read it for years and years because the Good News Bible has not that many words. It's still the Word of God. It's more simple English. Now she reads the New Living Translation and she loves it. It's her reading Bible. And since I got saved, I've been reading the NIV, the New International Version. And but I love the Message Bible and the New Passion Translation. And I love them. It's all the Bible. It's translations. And so which Bible should you read? The one you enjoy reading. There could also be a study Bible that you enjoy. So it's all good. It's all good. Okay, so I want to move on, but to say to you, God can speak to you today. It's called journaling. Read God's word in an orderly pattern, or get some scriptures about promises of God, victory over worry, victory over sin, positive living through God's word, whatever the scripture grouping is. We have it in our app, our church, our Lifehouse app, and you can also find them with YouVersion and other things as well. So why do I love the Old Testament? Because it's built upon God's covenant promises to Abraham, Israel, the world, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I want to come to point number two. Why do I love the Old Testament? Number two is because it's built upon the principle of believing, being a believer. Now, this might surprise you. Some people say, well, that's in the Old, it's in the New Testament. I would say totally correct. But the principle of believing starts with Abraham. Again, our father, Abraham. The Old Testament faith in God, although they did many things with sacrifices and priests, the primary thing was believing in one amazing, phenomenal God who loves us and who wants to help us, and he's great, but he wants to bless us. Believing in that God, his name is Yahweh or Elohim in the Old Testament. His name in the New Testament was Theos. In English, we say God, one God. Whatever language you're from, the concept of one creator, one amazing, loving, blessing, gracious God. And he's got some standards. He's got he's a God of purity and a God of love, but he's a God for all people. All right. Number two was it's built upon believing, not law. This might surprise you, but we're going to read here. I think the Old Testament was really built upon two promises of believing. One was in Genesis 15, verse 6. It says this: Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What's righteousness? It means God puts the finger up and says, you're right. We're good. Are we good? We're good. That's righteousness. When God says you're righteous, he says you're good. You're not guilty. That's not righteous. That's the opposite. That's, yay, righteous. So believing, Abraham believed God, and it was given as righteousness. Is that the same today? It is through Jesus Christ. It's true. Now, this scripture, I'm not going to read it, but it's repeated in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament. This scripture is very important, that our faith is based upon believing. It's not based upon what we do. It's based upon what we believe. Now, believing will change our lives, but salvation is based upon believing in the work of Jesus Christ today. And so this concept, the Old Testament, is built upon believing in one God who created and helps and shows grace. They didn't know Jesus back then, but they were looking forward to Messiah, the one who would save them. There's a second scripture that's repeated many times. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, a little tiny booklet, Habakkuk the prophet. And in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous, you and me through Jesus, will live by believing. Faith, believing and faith is the same Greek root word. Okay, so whether we say we're a believer or we have faith, it's the same. So the righteous shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by believing. Righteous, believe. We believe, we're righteous. We believe, we know Jesus. We believe, we're going to heaven. We believe, we receive God's promises. Are you a believer? Are you the righteous will live by faith? The faith people will have God's righteousness. And this scripture is repeated three times in the New Testament, in Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10. I'm not going to go there. It just says that. You can look it up, Google it, Google that verse. It will come up for you, okay? If you want to do a quick, where is that in the Bible? Google it. That's what I do. It's very, very fast to just put in the righteous shall live by faith, and it's going to come up straight away. So this is the most repeated New Testament verse from the Old Testament. What is it? What's the most repeated one in the New Testament? The righteous shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by believing. Same concept. Wow. You like the Old Testament? It's all about believing in God. So when we read it, it's about people that believe in God like us, and they're before Jesus, but they're amazing people. Number three, the Old Testament always looks to a coming Messiah. Old Testament always looks forward to the coming Messiah. The Old Testament always looks forward to the New Testament. The Old Testament was written with the promise of the coming Jesus. They didn't know his name, but it's written with a view to that there is a coming one. Not every verse in the Old Testament says that. A lot of it is history. A lot of it is law and technical areas. But at the whole principle of the Old Testament looks forward to Jesus. In fact, I read somewhere that there are at least 365 verses speaking about Jesus. They don't mention his name, but they're looking forward to the Messiah. And I want to draw your attention right now to Isaiah 53. There's Isaiah again, the Old Testament book, Isaiah. Isaiah wrote 600 years before Jesus. And when you come to read, it actually starts at the end of chapter chapter 52. We're going to read some of it because it's going to be amazing. When we talk about prophecy and the Old Testament being a prophetic book talking about Jesus, you've got to remember it's hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So when we read Isaiah 52 and 53, and we are going to read, I'm going to use my glasses here because I'm going to read from the paper Bible. All right. And some people say, "What, Pastor Rob, why do you wear glasses?" The answer is, well, I can't see without it. So, well, I can, but it's hard to read. You ready? We're going to read about a book written 600 years before Jesus. Things like the cross had not even been invented. Many things here. It's just so amazing. The prophetic word is awesome. And so we're going to read Isaiah 52. I really encourage you to read this whole section, Isaiah 52, verse 13, and Isaiah 53, written 600 years before Jesus. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." This is like on the cross, right? "So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." It goes on. Let's go to chapter 53, verse 4. "Surely," listen to this. This is actually quoted in Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 9. "Surely he took up our infirmities or sicknesses, and he carried our sorrows or our pains. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions." Wow. "He was crushed for our iniquities or sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Wow, when Jesus was beaten and whipped and on the cross, it's salvation, forgiveness, and it's healing 600 years before the coming of Jesus. Oh, do you feel that? Do you feel the power and love of Jesus? Let's go on now to the end of chapter 53. And it talks about the resurrection. It says here in verse 10, Isaiah 53:10, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and will prolong his days. That's resurrection. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Salvation's coming to the world. Whoa. And he will bear their iniquities, or will bear their sins. I'm going to stop there. You can read it. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Why do I love the Old Testament? Because, let me just clarify again. One, it's promises to Abraham, Israel, nations. Number two, it's built upon the principle of believing. I believe. I'm a believer. And three, it's always looking forward to Jesus. So when you journal the Old Testament, it's before Jesus. You've got to understand that. And you must read it through the eyes of the New Testament. We are New Testament people. So the Old Testament gives us huge background and revelation. All scripture is God breathed and God can speak to us. But before I finish the Old Testament and move on to the New Testament, I want to give one caution, one big caution. The Old Testament was written in context. The context was thousands of years ago, literally. And especially the beginning of Exodus story was at least 3,000 years ago. And that's a long time ago. Ancient language, people that were mainly living in desert communities under Moses and then in Israel under David and Solomon and other kings. And you've got to understand it was written in an age of real trouble and no law on the earth, very little law, and people were invading people everywhere, and there was no United Nations. There was no, none of that. It was ancient. And for its time, there are some things that are very hard to understand in the Old Testament. This is my caution. You've got to read the Old Testament with the eyes in the New Testament. The love of Jesus and the grace of Jesus rules over many things we read in the Old Testament. So please don't get caught in the Old Testament with one verse or one section. There are many parts that are actually involving Israel and nations. Some of Isaiah, the first part of Isaiah is about that. Second part's about God blessing the world. So please don't get caught in a little part of the Old Testament and let it stumble you or make you wonder. Read through the eyes of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the cross of Jesus. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love all people, all nations, all ethnic groups and all, you know what I'm saying? There is a caution that the Old Testament was written in a context. It had a history and a culture that sometimes you need to just research it or just move on. I love the Old Testament. I love reading it, and I read it with an eye to Jesus and an eye, let me take this off, and an eye to God and me, God and you. That's why I love the Old Testament. Let's come to why I love the New Testament. Now, I haven't got as much time for this, but so I want to get right to the point that why I love the New Testament. Number one, it's all about Jesus. The New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts, the early church, the books. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about you and me in the church of Jesus Christ. We are disciples of Jesus. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus. These are words used. We are in the family of God. We're sons and daughters of God through Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let me read to you Matthew 20:28. It's a bit of a summary, I think, of the New Testament. You ready? It's repeated in Mark 10:45, exactly, exactly. The Son of Man, it's Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's a key scripture. Jesus came, New Testament came, and he was coming to die on the cross and be resurrected. It is the plan. It's the Old Testament prophets, 365 or more prophecies. Jesus came, and the first part is the Gospels, the life, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Without Jesus, the Old Testament means nothing, and the New Testament means nothing. It's all about Jesus. He came not to be served by us, is that right? But to serve us and love us and give grace on us and to become a ransom for many. A ransom is a payment for our sin. For our sin and our bad decisions and our selfishness and our rubbish and our past pain, our present pain, our future pain, he came as a ransom to pay on the cross. That's the New Testament. It's awesome. It's all about Jesus. And Hebrews 7:7 says, the lesser will be blessed by the greater. The whole concept of Jesus coming is he is greater, but he is serving us and he's giving to us. The lesser, that's us, will be blessed by the greater. God's all about blessing, salvation, and then blessing on our lives. That's number one, why I love the New Testament. And we're going to do a series soon on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why I love them. So many reasons, but I just have to summarize why I love the New Testament. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And when I read the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. But New Testament is clear. It is, his name is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. Number two, why I love the New Testament is the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. That's what it says in Hebrews. The book of Hebrews mentions 11 times. Little book in the New Testament called Hebrews mentions 11 times that the new promises through Jesus is better than the old promises. Does that mean the old promises are gone? No, it means Jesus fulfills them and renews them, and the new is better because it's through Jesus. All right. So let me read to you Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. It says, by calling the new covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The New Testament is better. That's why people ask me, what do I read first? Or what should I continue reading? And my answer is, the New Testament, especially the Gospels. Keep every year I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every year. Love them. And then books like Ephesians, all about how we are the church of Jesus Christ. So I love reading the whole Bible, but I've got to make sure as a disciple of Jesus that I am reading about Jesus and the work of Jesus in our lives in the New Testament, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so let me read it again. He's by calling the covenant new, the new covenant, the New Testament, the new part, the Jesus after Jesus part, he has made the first one obsolete. Now, this word obsolete does not mean destroyed. It doesn't mean burn it, get rid of it. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean unhinge it. It doesn't mean pay no attention. It just means it's got to diminish in the light of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, all right? We've got to understand this. The Old Testament is not unhinged. It's the New Testament is more important because it reveals clearly the work of Jesus Christ. So the question is, did Jesus eliminate the law and the law of Moses? And Jesus answers this in Matthew 5, verse 17-18. Jesus said, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. That's the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus Christ on the cross fulfilled every law and everything that was against us. It says in Colossians chapter 2, everything that was against us, he nailed it to the cross. So Jesus didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. He completed the law. He fulfilled it in Rod Plummer's life. And so when I get to heaven, God's not going to say, did you fulfill the law? He's going to say, did you love Jesus? Are you a believer in Jesus? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Isn't that great? He fulfilled the things against us, all the things against us. He fulfilled them, nailed them to the cross. He took them. He forgave us. And that's why the New Testament is better, because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. I'm excited. Did you know? and Jesus says, I've not come to abolish the law, but to complete the law and to make Rod Plummer righteous as he believes. Are you a believer? Believe that you are forgiven. Believe that you are going to heaven. Believe. If you're a believer, you are righteous and you're going to heaven. That's why I love the New Testament. Now, Jesus said this in communion, and you can take communion anytime in your life, on by yourself, with your family, at church. It's not meant to be a religious ceremony. It's meant to be a life of thanks. So let's look what Jesus said about the new covenant, all right? This is in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 onwards. And this is Paul speaking. I received from the Lord Jesus what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, that's the Last Supper, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So communion is about remembering Jesus, his work, his forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, saying, this cup is the new covenant. This cup is representing the new promises, the new truths. What Jesus did in my blood, do this, drink it. Whenever you drink, in remembrance of me. And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're proclaiming the truths of the new covenant. Old covenant's great. I love it. I love the whole Old Testament, but the new is better. Let's read it and read the Old Testament with eyes for the New Testament, with eyes for grace of Jesus. You got it? Old Testament is God's word and can speak to us, but we've got to read it through the eyes of grace and cross and resurrection. Okay, so why I love the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. It's about the new covenant, better, it's new, the New Testament, great to read. And my last point here is that we and the whole world can come into a life with Jesus. So I'm going to finish with three verses. Number one, it's God's love for the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. New Testament, believing in Jesus and going to heaven. Point number two, the New Testament shows me I'm supposed to be living as a son or a daughter of God. This is God's desire. We're children. We're not slaves. We're children. I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship, which means boys and girls in the family. And by him we cry, Abba, which means Father, come. We cry, Father, come, Father, come. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. New Testament reveals that through Jesus, we become the sons and daughters of God. I'm a son, you're a son or daughter. We've got to live like that, think like that. Wow, new spirit. Abba, Father, come. Father, come. Father, Father, bless our lives. Be with us, our God, our Creator. Father, come. I want to listen to you. I want to journal. I want to be built into your family. And the last final thing I'm going to say is the powerful Holy Spirit changed us when we believed. You ready? I've got a long scripture here, and it's Hebrews 8, verse 6 to 13. It's long, but it's worth listening to before we finish. You ready? The Holy Spirit, powerful in our lives. In fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. New Testament superior to the old one. Since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, there would be no place sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming. This is Old Testament prophecy. The days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will establish. You ready? This is Old Testament prophecy. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Ooh. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. And I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. New Testament, God doesn't remember our sins. He forgives us and takes away our sins. It's a new covenant, communion we celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Last verse. By calling the covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. I love the whole Bible, but I'm reading with a view to the New Testament and Jesus. I'm a New Testament believer, aren't you? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We love your word. It's God-inspired, every part. But every part, we pray, we read it through Jesus. We read it through grace of the cross, and we read it through the promises of believing. We're believers and we're sons and daughters filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Wow, what a great word. I hope that you enjoyed it. And so let's just take this moment to pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are our King, and thank you for the life that you give us. Thank you for your word, which inspires us and empowers us for a great life. And I pray for your blessing over every single person. Bless every person with your joy, with your peace, with your presence this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus today, I want to say that is the best decision you can ever make. I made that decision about 17 years ago, and Jesus has completely changed my life and blessed me in such incredible ways. And I want to let you know that God loves you. He's got an incredible plan for your life, and he wants to fill you with his life and vision. And so if you want to make that decision tonight and receive Jesus, I'm going to be wanting to pray prayer with you in a moment. So I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to say now. And then if you want to make that decision, would you pray this prayer with me? So one, God loves you. Two, he's got an incredible plan for your life. Three, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow you. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to help you as you continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus. So please let us know in the comment sections or follow the link below, and we'd love to get in touch with you and really help you on this journey as you continue to follow Jesus. Well, thank you for joining us for this incredible teaching series here on a Wednesday night. And we want to just say thank you for your continued generosity. Your monthly giving, your weekly giving is really helping us as a church to continue to do what God's called us to in this nation. And if you want to, if you came ready and inspired to give tonight, there are many different ways that you can give. So why don't you check out the links below or go to our website and click on the give button, and you can follow all the instructions there. But I really want to encourage you, let us be a people who continue to put God first. And when we tithe, when we give the first 10% of what we earn into our local church, God's blessing and protection comes upon every area of our life. And it's such an incredible promise that we can step into. So if you've never tithed, I want to encourage you, take that step of faith and start tithing. Well, if you're enjoying these teaching series, I want to encourage you to either like our page or subscribe if you're watching on YouTube and share this resource. Help us spread the word so that we can encourage and reach more people. Thank you for watching and hope you have an incredible rest of your week.